This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
One of the highest-ranking Chinese Americans in the Obama administration is headed to Beijing.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. As early as today, President Obama is expected to nominate Secretary Gary Locke as the new U.S. ambassador to China. Now, Locke's experience at the Commerce Department won't hurt, considering China is the world's number two economy and currently growing like a weed. And Locke had plenty of experience selling American goods to China when he was governor of Washington State. Marketplace's Gregory Warner is with us this morning to talk about it. Good morning, Gregory.
Good morning, Steve.
Sounds like Locke has his work cut out for him.
That's right. And Locke made a name for himself making trade deals with China back when he was governor of Washington, because Washington's got a lot of businesses dependent on export, from airplane manufacturers to apple farmers. So now in his new role as ambassador, Locke is representing a different Washington, of course, but his message boils down to the same thing, which is basically, China, buy our stuff. You know, I spoke to Patrick Chovanec. He's professor of U.S.-China business relations at Tsinghua University in Beijing.
The U.S. is interested in China becoming more of a consuming nation, not just a producing nation. And the message that the U.S. has had for China is that that will be good for China.
So, that leads to our big question then, Gregory, which is, what does this mean for our economic relationship with China and for U.S. business in general?
Well, Gary Locke has said that resolving some of these China trade issues is the key to getting out of the economic downturn. And if such a fast-growing country like China starts consuming more American goods, I mean, that would shift the center of gravity in almost every industry. Mm-hmm. But there's also this, that the president has pledged to give national business leaders more access to his inner circle. And with Gary Locke off to China, there's a new vacancy in the president's cabinet.
It certainly is. All right, Marketplace's Gregory Warner reporting for us. Thank you, Gregory.
Thank you, Steve.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are up just shy of a full percent for the NASDAQ and the S&P right now. The Dow up by 116 points at 12,206. Subway has overtaken McDonald's as fast food king, at least in the number of stores they operate around the world. A government filing says Subway has about 1,000 more restaurants than McDonald's, making it the biggest fast food chain on earth. But McDonald's beats Subway at the bank. The Senate is likely to vote by tomorrow on an overhaul of U.S. patent laws. The measure is sponsored by Senator Patrick Leahy of Vermont. Now, the bill, would make big changes to how patents are reviewed at the Patent and Trademark Office, including giving priority to those inventors who pay a bigger fee. Dan Burke is a law professor at the University of California in Irvine. He's with us from Orange County this morning. Hi, Dan.
Hi there.
What's the bottom line here? What kind of changes are we talking about?
Well, it's a big mix of changes running all the way from administrative changes in the way the patent office gets to manage its budget to this really big change that you just mentioned with regard to who gets a patent to a fundamental change in what we call going to a first-to-file system, where rather than the first inventor to develop a technology, instead the first person to get to the patent office would get the patent.
First-to-file, yeah. What are the complaints against the way things are right now?
Well, businesses have a variety of complaints, but the big one with regard to first-to-file is everybody else in the world does first-to-file. The United States is sort of the lone holdout with first-to-invent, and it would be cheaper and easier for a lot of businesses to be able to do the same thing all over the world.
Cheaper and easier. All right. But there are these arguments, Professor, that this gives inventors with big pockets, right, a lot of money, a big advantage. What do you say to those people who say that?
Some people have suggested that maybe you could make it easier for small business entities to file a patent if we went to this kind of a first-to-file system. But mostly a lot of people are saying that the majority of technologies are developed by big businesses in large R&D operations, and so maybe we shouldn't be so worried about small businesses.
Why is it taking so long to get here?
Well, Well, this has been the clash of the titans. The chemical and pharmaceutical industries view the patent system in one way. They think it works pretty well the way it is. The electronics and software industries view it as being broken and not working well. And so there's been a seven-year standoff between these two big groups of industries as to what we ought to do.
Dan Burke, UC Irvine Law Professor. Thanks.
You bet.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at Microsoft.com/cloud. By MassMutual, offering business owners financial guidance for the long term. Information at MassMutual.com. And by Reputation.com, protecting online privacy by removing your personal data from the Internet and stopping unwanted mail. Reputation.com.
The price of oil is down a little after topping $107 a barrel earlier today. Now it's at the low, low price of $105. The rising oil price has a lot of people thinking about less expensive alternative fuels, such as natural gas. Technology has boosted production of natural gas so much that there's actually surplus in the U.S. market, and some drillers want permission to sell all that extra supply. From the Sustainability Desk, Marketplace's Eve Trow reports that's not likely to happen.
Drillers have figured out how to get natural gas quickly from U.S. shale through a process called fracking. There's so much that American companies now want to start exporting it. But there's a problem.
Well, currently in the U.S., there's 10 import terminals and no export terminals at all.
Matt Smith is with Summit Energy. He says reversing the flow of the supply will take at least 5 years. Some groups don't want to start that process because the U.S. may need more natural gas as the economy gets better. And if we send it overseas, it'll cost more here. Smith says there's plenty to go around.
The U.S. is going to experience a reasonably low level of natural gas pricing for the foreseeable future.
The one thing that would drive up prices is more environmental regulation. While frackers push to export, they're also waiting to see if federal agencies will rein in the very practice that led to the boom. I'm Eve Trow for Marketplace.
And finally, sharing space with a roommate means figuring out who pays how much. We'll battle no more over that. Harvard grad student and self-professed math geek Jonathan Bittner has come up with splitherent.org. This is an online calculator that, to the cent, figures out the fairest amount for all parties of the pad. Does your roommate have more closet space? She pays more. Is your window bigger? That's on your dime. You know what the website doesn't take into account? The who pays for eating my peanut butter conundrum. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
If a celebrity's following you on Twitter, don't get too excited.
Do those people really think that Lady Gaga and President Obama are reading their tweets?
I'm Kai Rizdal, the Freakonomics of 140 character relationships, the numbers from Wall Street, and all the day's business news next time on Marketplace from APM American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.